Morning, Booker Tov. Today's daf is from Mitzia daf Ayin Beis. From Mitzia Ayin Beis, we reach different spots in the morning and the evening. Let's pick it up from. Let's go all the way back to two dots. Let's go over the five explanations the Gemara is going to bring in when our Mishnah discusses a yid taking over a position from a yid lending money to another yid through a guy with ribbis. The Mishnah said that would be okay if it's been das of the guy. The Gemara explains exactly what's going on. Let's see. Tanabon. This is a Bryce quoting the same idea we had in the Mishnah, that a Yid can lend money of a guy. He's lending out a guy's money with the guy's das, with ribbis, but not midas Yisrael. Ketzah, what does that mean? He borrowed money from a guy with ribbis. And the Yid is ready to return the money to the guy. Another Yid found this first Yid and said, today, Emily, let's continue your setup with the guy, and let me utilize the money now. Vani alecha, and I'll pay you the interest. So Reuven had borrowed money from a guy with interest. Reuven is about to pay back the guy. Shimon says, Reuven, no, let me the money, and then let's keep that deal going. I'll pay the money that you owe to the guy. I'll pay it back to you. Kedech shatam ala, the way you're paying it to the guy. Usser. That's usser. Why? Because Reuven is effectively lending Shimon money beribis. Yeah, he's only passing on the same deal that he has with the guy, but at the end of the day, the guy is lending Reuven money beribis, and Reuven is extending a loan from that with that same those same funds, but he's extending a loan to Shimon. That's Reuven lending Shimon money beribis. That's a problem. But if Reuven puts the money, if he's maimed Shimon, the other borrower, next to the guy, mutter, meaning if Reuven orchestrates the arrangement is directly between the guy and between Shimon, then it's okay. Reuven tells the guy, instead of me owing you the money now, this guy's taking over the debt, taking over the position, and he owes you the money, and it's a direct deal now between the second Yid and the guy, then it's permissible. Now, before we go further, just we pointed out, we definitely said this spoken out in the evening share, this is a big concern, this first scenario, that Reuven is extending a loan to Shimon, based on the money that he received from a guy and based on the terms he received from the guy. But Lamaisa, Reuven is giving a loan to Shimon, therefore it's a problem of ribbis, because between Reuven and Shimon, they can't be ribbis. This is very relevant when someone co-signs a loan to a bank for someone else. A classic case is when the parents, let's say, they come and sign on a loan for their children to get a mortgage. The children don't have enough credit to get a mortgage, but the children will be paying the mortgage. So the problem is, if the parents sign on the loan to the bank, so the bank's effectively lending the parents the money, and then the child is paying the money to the bank, the child's really paying the money to the parent or on behalf of the parent to the bank, which really means that the parent is lending the child money beribis. So one has to be careful to structure such an arrangement. It really seems like, again, it's just the bank charging interest and the parents slash child to paying it back. But if it's from the bank's perspective, the child doesn't really exist. It's the parent who's borrowing the money, and the child happens to be paying it, it's really the parent borrowing money from the bank, lending to the child, mamash our case. And we're saying that it's a problem, unless it's clear that it's being directly between the guy and the yid, or in our case, between the bank and the child, or unless it's some sort of other heter iska drawn up, because otherwise it would be a problem. It's a not such an uncommon scenario. Says the Gemara further. V'chein, nachri shalava mais misrael. And similarly, if a guy borrowed money from me, in this case, the guy is the borrower. He borrows money from me at Beribis, which is totally fine. We discussed yesterday that there was, at least in the Taisa says, Lamaisa, we do it, but the Mara did discuss that unless it's for the Kedechaya, for basic living, or unless it's Tamil Chacham, you should try to avoid even lending ribis to a guy. But okay, but Meikar Din, certainly not Torah, it's mutter for a Nachri to borrow money from a Yid Beribis. And the guy is ready to return the money to the Yid. And a Yid met the guy and says to the guy, today, Amli, give me the money that you've been borrowing Beribis from this Yid. Give it to me. And I'll pay the interest for you. Let me the money in the interim, and I'll pay the interest. The way you're paying to the Yid, mutter, that's mutter. That's clearly going through the guy, the same way that was usher the other way, when it was the guy is the original lender. A Yid was the first borrower, and another Yid has become the second borrower. That was usher because the second Yid is borrowing for the first Yid. Over here, the Yid was a lender, the guy was the borrower, and a second Yid is coming to borrow from the guy. That's fine. In this case, opposite. If you stand up, if the guy says, well, I don't need to be in the middle of all this, he says to the second Yid, why don't you just deal directly with the first Yid? Well, that's going to be a problem, of course, because the Yid can't borrow Beribis for another Yid. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Seifa, I understand the Seifa that was saying that the guy, if he's going to create, if he's going to create a connection between the first yid and the second, if he's just going to be like a shliach to connect the first yid and the second yid directly, and therefore it's usher, that makes sense, because even though we don't necessarily have shlichus for a guy, says the Gemara, lechumra, we say shlichus, we'll say yesh shlichus l'akam, at least the chumra will be concerned about shlichus, and therefore it's a problem. Melaresha, kivin shlichus anachri, you need the kashakim ebribsa, ask the Gemara, but in the resha, why is it a problem? Why is it allowed? Why is it allowed when the second, when the yid, he presents the yid borrower, the first borrower, presents the second yid in front of the guy, and he says, let him take my place. L'chaira, it's a, there's a shlichus going on over here, and we know there's no din of shlichus by a guy, l'kula, so mechat eis, that should work to avoid the ribbis. Says Gemara, Amar Avunim Barmanech, B'shvei Darav, Achabei Ravika, Hachamai Eskid, Goy, Da'amar Lehin, Nicham Agabek, Kakvi Pater. The case over here is talking where the guy, the lender, said to the first borrower, not be a shliach to give the money to the second borrower. That's not a question how that would work. He told them to actually put the money down on the ground, meaning pay me back, essentially. Pay me back by putting the money on the ground and then let the second guy take it. Put the money on the ground, you're putter, and the second guy takes it. It's not shlichus anymore. The first guy, the yid, is putting the money down. It's effectively like a payment, and the second yid is now borrowing it, and therefore it's not working that the first guy is giving the money to the second guy as a shlichus for the guy. Rather, it's working as if it was being paid up and retaken by the second fellow. Ask the Mariach about the Memra. If it was paid up to the guy and then it was relent to the, if it was paid up to the guy and then relent from the guy to the second yid, so of course it's okay. What's the Shaila? Elamar Papa, Kaishanotav Nasamiyad. The case is where the guy himself took back the money for the first borrower and he passed it on to the second borrower with his own hand. Mar says, why is that helping? Like, I got to the Memra. So we're avoiding Shlichas. But what's the chiddush? Of course, it's not a problem. Ribbis. The guy lent the first yid ribbis, and that's permissible. The guy is now lending the second yid ribbis, and that's permissible. What's the chiddush? Says Gemara, the tame of the chiddush as follows. I would have thought nachi gufek ki avid adaiti yisrokam gamer viav kamash b'lan. I would have thought that the guy is only doing it because of the das of the yid, meaning borrower number one is the one that orchestrated that the loan should, so to speak, continue, even though it's saying it's a real payment of the first loan and an issuance of a new loan. But it's as if the loan's continuing, and it was at the behest of borrower number one. So since the yid is involved in this loan coming from the guy to the, from this guy to this other yid, maybe it's considered as if it's he's involved in the loan itself and it should be a problem with ribbis. Kamash is not an issue. The guy is only doing it and therefore maybe there's a problem with ribbis. Kamash Balan, that we view it as if the guy is doing it 100% on his own. Maybe it was requested from the first yid, but the loan is considered 100% coming from the guy to yid number one, and then separately from the guy to yid number two, but the loan's coming from the guy, and therefore it's not a problem of ribbis. Ravashi wants to give a different explanation of what it means of the brisa, meaning even though the ein shlichus l'akam, why it works. Ravashi amar kermin ein shlichus l'nachri hani mei b'truma. This din of ein shlichus l'nachri is dafka by truma, where we have the parsha of shlichus, and it says ma'atem b'nei, it says b'nei bris. It says the lashon of atem. Meaning, you who are bnei bris, a shayach to shlichus. A guy is not shayach to shlichus, but says Ravashi, stafka bei tshuma. Avachol ha-terah kula, yeh shlichus nachri. Stafka bei tshuma, but l'gabi everywhere else in the Torah, a guy has shlichus, therefore it's fine. There's not an issue of shlichus to a guy, so the yid number one is going to transfer the loan to yid number two, and it's the direct dealings with the guy, and not a problem of ribbis. In fact, Gemara, or says the Gemara statement, Vadra Ravashi Berusi. This the Ravashi said, we always teach, sometimes the girsa is actually Bedusa, which means like a mistake. Berusa means it's outside, but same idea. The statement is off sides. The statement is not is incorrect. Why? Maisha Truma Delay, why are we saying Truma Gai is excluded from Shlichas? Tchsev Atagamatem, the possibly quoted before. Atagamatem, it comes to say that you're able to, Gamatem says, not only could you do the act, it can be done by your shliach, and we darshin ma'atem bnei bris, just like you, when you could do the act of truma, you're a ben bris, you're a yid. After shlachah ben bris, so too your shliach has to be a ben bris. That's the drasha that the shliach has to be a yid by truma. It says the Gemara, just like you have that drasha that got to be truma, shliach is called tarakula nami, but truma gamrila. The source that the shliach is called tarakula, one of the main home bases for the concept of shlichas, is truma. We learn it from truma, and if by truma guys excluded, by other cases guys may be excluded as well. Says Gemara, Ella Ravashi Bedusi, to make this distinction and say that a guy is only excluded from shlichus by truma, but a guy is included in shlichus elsewhere is a mistake, because we learn out shlichus elsewhere from truma itself. So if you darshan, it has to be ben bris by truma, then it would have to be ben bris by all the shlichus as well. So that teretz Ravashi is no good. Igadami, some say Ravashi's statement was different. I'm Ravashi, Ravashi statement was as follows. When do we say there's no shlichus for a guy? Hanimili in the done. Dafka, when the guy is becoming a shlich for us. What's our case again? Our case was Reuven borrowed money from the guy. The guy is a lender, lent money to Reuven with ribbis, which is fine. Reuven's paying ribbis to the guy. But when Reuven is ready to pay up, Shimon needed money, and Shimon said to Reuven, let me take your position, let me take over your loan to this from this guy. And Reuven serving as a shliach of the guy to transfer the money to Shimon, and the loan will be directly between the guy and Shimon. We're saying that's okay. Reuven's just serving as a shliach in order for the loan to be again from the guy to Shimon instead of to him. And it's okay, it's not a problem with Reuven, because it's not a loan from Reuven to Shimon, it's a loan still from the guy to Shimon. That's our case. And we're saying Reuven's act as a shliach. So our issue was that ain't shlichus lakum, a guy doesn't have a partial shlichus, he can't make Reuven a shliach. That was the issue. So Rav Ashi suggesting that maybe this that a guy can't be a shliach is the guy can't serve as a shliach. He's not in the parsha of shlichus to serve as a shliach. But for a yid to be a shliach for a guy, which means a guy is in the parsha of shlichus, a guy can make a shliach. If the shliach is a yid, then a shlichus does work. Maybe that's the distinction, and that's over here it works, says Gemara. Kier minan, ain't shlichus l'nachri, hanimili in l'udidan. That means they can't be a shliach for us. A guy can't serve as a shliach for a yid. But us to be shliach for him, avinu l'shliach, we could be shliach. And in this case, the first yid, borrower, he can be shliach to transfer the money to borrower yid number two. It says Gemara, v'hadavashi b'ruzi. But again, according to this version as well, Ravashi's statement is a mistake. Why is that? Maisha in the dun delay. Why could a guy not be a shliach for a yid? Why is he excluded? The same drush as before. Atem, gam atem comes to include shliach, and we darshin ma atem, just like we compare the gam to the atem, just like you're a yid, ma atem bnei bris, af shluchacham bnei bris, just like you're a yid, also your shliach has to be a yid. So, and therefore, a guy cannot be the shliach. Says Gemara, ma atem bnei bris, af shluchacham bnei bris, anan the dunami. So the other way as well, for us to be a shliach for the guy, same problem. Ma atem bnei bris, kamar, it's the same drasha that the parash of shlichus is a yid, may be, just like the initiator is a yid, so too the shliach has to be a yid. So it's both of them. It doesn't make a difference if the guy is the initiator, the mishaleach we'll call him, or if the guy is the shliach. Either way, it doesn't work for the same drasha. So therefore, elahad Rashi Berusi, this interpretation, this explanation of Rashi is, again, a Berusa is on the outside, so to speak. It's a mistake. Ravina says, I'll give an explanation of the Braisa. What was our issue? Our issue was that we're relying on shlichus of a guy, lekula, shlichus of a guy, that the yid number one, is a shliach of a guy to give the money to yid number two, and the loan remains between the guy now and yid number two, and therefore it's okay, not a problem, ribbis, but that's relying on shlichus of a guy. The guy is making the yid a shliach. How is that working? Ravina, lekula. Ravina, need the shlichus l'nachi, lestay, zechia midaban nislay, even though a guy doesn't not part of the parsha of shlichus, a guy is in the parsha of zechia, and a proof to this is midavek katan. Zechia means that someone could be zeicha something on behalf of the guy. A guy can't make a shliach, but someone could be zeicha for something on behalf of the guy, just like by a katan. Why? Well, the Mer explains. Katan lafagav less than shlichus. Katan doesn't have the power of making a shliach. Yet top of ayin beis menalf isle zechia midrabanan. He still has a zechia midrabanan. Top Rashi titran zach in the katan perik mishemais in the end of Bava Basra towards the end of Masechta Kufnun Vav towards the latter part of Masechta. The Mishnah says that you can be zecha on behalf of a katan. So a katan cannot make a shliach. Yet one can be zecha on behalf of a katan. We're on the top line. Top line of ayin beis of an aleph. You can be zecha on behalf of a katan, says Gemara, hachanami leishna. So to be a guy cannot make a shliach, but you could be zecha on behalf, you can make a shliach on behalf of the guy. So what's happening here is, borrower number one, yid number one, he's when he pays the money, when he takes the guy's money, and he gives it further to yid number two is, so to speak, it's like he's being zecha on behalf of the guy, and therefore it's as if the money was paid back to the guy, and the guy is now lending it to yid number two, and yid number one is out of the equation, therefore it's not a problem of ribbis. Says Gemara, Ravina starts, it's also no good, v'lohi, yisro asil chashlichas, akam lesa chashlichas. You can't compare. The reason why shlichas, zechia, works for a katan is because even though a katan right now can't make a shliach, a katan will eventually get older, he'll be a gadol, he'll be in the parsha of shlichus, and since one day he'll be in parsha of shlichus, even now, he's in the parsha of zechia. Whereas a guy will never be in the parsha of shlichus. Maybe someone will never be in the parsha of shlichus, is not going to be in the parsha of zechia either, and therefore he can't be miraya. The way he is, the raya from a katan is not a good raya. And we have no indication that zechia is going to work by a guy. It's interesting because the Gemara elsewhere discusses whether ultimately zechia works mitam shlichus or not. If zechia works mitam shlichus, then this deflection is very good. That a katan one day will be in the parsha of shlichus, so therefore he's shaykh to zechia, even though right now he's not in the parsha of shlichus. Whereas a guy who will never be in the parsha of shlichus, is not a parsha of Zechia. But the Gemara elsewhere discusses that you don't have to come on to Shlichas. Zechia could work even not Matam Shlichas. If you go with that idea in the Gemara, that Zechia works even not Matam Shlichas, then I'm a little bit schwer that this din over here, this Chilik that was saying that cut, and since he's one day as B'chal Shlichas, therefore he has Zechia, but Zechia is not Matam Shlichas, why should that matter? That is a discussion in the Mefarshim. Tan Rabban. Yisrael Shalav Amayis Ben Anachi Beribis. If a Yid borrows money from a guy, Beribis, the Zakvar Av Milva, and they where the lender made the ribis as part of a loan. So the initial agreement was the yid's borrowing, let's say, $100, and at the end of the year, he's going to have to pay back $120. Then what happened was, let's say the year ended, and now the yid owes the guy. They wrote a new contract, which didn't say that the yid owes 100 plus 20 of interest. There's new contract that just says the yid owes the guy $120. The ribis became part of, like, it became almost like principal. The ribis, the interest, was added to the principal. Now this principal is owed to the guy. What's nafbina? Vinis gayer. And then the guy became a ger. Now he's a yid. So the shayla is, could he collect this ribis? The halacha is a yid can't collect ribis. A guy was able to lend ribis. So what's the status of this ribis? Again, the loan was done when the guy was a guy, right at the top of Ayin Beis Min Aleph. The loan was done from a guy to a yid when the guy was still a guy. He's able to lend ribis, but they converted the interest into regular debt now. It became all part of the regular loan. Says Gemara, im kadesh guy, zakhar lo milva, if they made it and fully converted it all to straight loan, it became one big loan before the Geiris. This now converted Yid, this guy that was converted to Yid, he can collect both the Ribis and the Karen because it's all one big loan. The Machish, before he became Yid, the Machish is Geiris, Zakhar Milva, but if only after he became a Yid, they converted the interest into one big loan, then Geiris Karen and Geiris Ribis. The Lach is, you can collect the Karen, but you cannot collect the Ribis. And similarly, a guy that borrowed money from Yid Ribis, which is allowed, the Zak for the level, at least certainly at the Rice level, or again, like I said, Kitei Chayav, or if he's a Tam Chacham, the Zak for the Milva, and the Yid then said the entire amount, all the original loan, plus any interest owed to date, is now a new, just was converted into just a new shtar of debt, one big loan, to this guy, and then the guy was Megayer. We say as follows. If it was already converted into one big debt before it became a Ger, the Yid can collect both the Karen and the Ribbis. However, if the guy was Megayer already before they converted the interest into being just part of one big debt, and it still separated the principal and the interest, then Gavis a Karen Vena Gavis a Ribbis. The Yid can only collect now from this converted guy. He can only collect the Karen, he cannot collect the Ribbis. Because now that the guy became a Yid, he can't collect Ribbis from another Yid. A guy who borrowed money from Yisrael Beribis, it's not true. Either way, you let to collect the Karen and the Ribis. What's the reasoning? Because they have very simple itza. A guy is going to borrow money from a Yid. He's going to borrow money, a big loan, a big debt with a lot of interest. And what's he going to do? He's going to find this. He's going to have a smart Jewish lawyer who's going to give him a loophole and says, you know, why don't you go convert, be Megayer, and you'll be absolved of your interest. If you're Megayer, you won't have to pay the interest. And we don't want that to happen. And therefore we say that even if he's Megayer, the interest still has to be paid. There's a big discussion that now how far do we take this? Meaning, some Rishonim say we take it so far. We're so concerned about the ulterior motives of the guy being Megayer that even interest that accrues after the Geiris, would have to be paid by the guy, or not this converted guy to the Yid, which is Ben Chiddush. Now he's ready Yid. Again, the Upmach, the original arrangement was made when he was a guy. But the interest, even the interest that's accruing once he's already a Yid, was still to be paid. Others trying to say, no, avada not. Only the interest that accrued till he became a Yid was saying he can't be absolved of that interest just by virtue of being the Geyer, that avada he still has to pay. But any interest after he becomes a Yid, that can no longer be collected. That is a discussion in the Rishonim. Okay, says my friend, Zanarban. Shtar Shekosabei Ribis, a shtar which has in it a condition of Ribis. Between two yidin, which is a problem, obviously. You know, we have such a star. You're not supposed to have a loan. Kaitz by slave, any guy vilas the Karen vilas the Ribis. We knas the lender that he cannot collect not the Karen nor the Ribis. Divrei Meir can't collect. Forget about the Ribis. He can't even collect the Karen. The Chamer, big machlekes, the Rishonim, Again, a lot spoken about this. When we say with Knas, we can't according to Meir. We've had this idea of Meir elsewhere as well, that we Knas, when someone's doing an Aver, we Knas, and not only can't you collect the Aver portion, even the non-Aver portion. Question is, is he not able to collect it with a shtar, or is he not able to collect it at all? Meaning a shtar gives me a power. If I lend Yaakov money with a shtar, so I have a power now to go to Yaakov's encumbered properties. If he sold someone else, I have a lien, I can go get from those properties. If it's a milvah peh, then I can only get from his free properties, not properties that were purchased by someone else. So when we're saying now that the lender cannot collect the ribbis, that's pasha, but he also cannot collect the karen, doesn't mean he cannot collect the karen from, like, with a shtar, b'ter a shtar, and therefore I can't go to lekuchas? Or does it mean I can't collect at all? He can ask me, and I can't collect the karen at all. That is a discussion. Tesis brings various shitas on that matter. Okay. The next level of that discussion is, before we go back to the Gemara, the next level is, if we're going to say that I can't collect even the karen at all, not just from the mishabadim, not just from the lekuchas, I can't collect at all, then it comes out that the borrower, in our example, maybe we shouldn't have this example, but in our example, I lent Yaakov ribbis, then Yaakov also did an Avera. He's gaining. Chaytan Isker, right? We know the Avera of ribbis is both on the lender and on the borrower. It's a chiddush. But the Avera is also on the borrower. So it's very nice to knasi the lender, but the borrower is also gaining. We don't typically do things that allows the borrower to gain. So that would be a reason why we're just saying that I can't go collect from the kuchas, but avada, I can still collect the debt. Or you say that the main person whose benefit is to lend ribbis is, of course, the malva, and therefore we knas him, and that's even though it ends up being a benefit for the borrower. Okay, says Gemara, b'kort der meir, you can't collect the karen or the ribbis, and we discussed what exactly karen means. Doesn't mean you can't collect it at all, or doesn't mean you just can't collect it from the shabbatim. That is a discussion in the Rishayim. B'chama imrim, gaivas a karen, abad, you can collect the principal, v'eni gaivas ribbis, but you can't collect the ribbis. Back in Mithkos Machlekes, Rameir says, k'tzin hetirat v'shur b'sura. Rameir says, we knas the mutter portion because of that which is usher. Rabbi, you shouldn't have done that which is usher, and therefore we cannot see not just the usher portion, even the mutter portion. Rabbanan Savi, like the Tzidat Terem Mishra Mesira, we don't cross the mutter portion as a gezerah onto the usher. Says the Gemara, Tanasim. We learned in the Mishnah in Shviyas, in the 10th parak, Shtari Chayiv, Hamagdam Psulim, Vamachar Mekshayrim. A Shtar Chayiv, that's Muktam, is Pasul, that's Mukher, is Kasher. Now, what's a Shtar Chayiv? Muktam, very simple. We've had this idea in the past. A Shtar Chayiv Muktam is, let's say the loan took place on June 1st. The loan's taking place on June 1st. And we write in the Shtar that the loan took place on May 15th, 15 days earlier. The problem this causes is, the loan took place. The problem it causes is, any properties that were in the possession of the borrower between May 15th and June 1st, which he subsequently sold, the malva, the lender, is going to be able to go to those buyers and say, I have a shtar that says I have a debt from your seller that predated your purchase. And therefore, that field that you bought, I have a lien on it. The shtar gives me a lien, access to that property. But the reality is, the loan only took place when? June 1st. So the loan only took place after that purchase. So you're going to wrongfully collect from lekuchas, and therefore a shtar that's muktam, it's predated, is pasul. But a shtar that's postdated is fine. You're not harming anybody. You're only harming the lender himself. If he lent the money on May 15th and only wrote a shtar on June 1st, he's only harming himself. He lost 2 weeks of being able to collect from lekuchas. That's okay. The Marna says, why is the shtar muktam pasul? Nitlai gavim is man rishayim, nigvim is man sheni. The Marna asks, by shtar muktam, it sounds like the shtar is totally possible. Why is it possible? Granted, you can't collect from the lekuchas, the lands that were purchased from the earlier date, from this muktam dikah date, but the shtar should at least work to be sufficient to be able to collect from the actual date of the loan. Amar Shem Lakish, V'chalikish Nui Berberi. Shem Lakish, this is why Kenex Tagamara explains, this is Mamash Rameir, that we knas the heter onto this, sir. Meaning any lekuchas, anyone that purchased the land from the borrower after the loan took place, those lands, and there's a shtar about it, those lands really are meshibed. They're deep meshibed. Those lands, they should be a shibed, and the lender should be able to collect from them. But we knas that he can't collect even from those lands because the shtar was predated, and that would cause it to be, that would cause him to potentially collect from prematurely from lands that were meshibed, and therefore we knas the shtar doesn't work at all, and it can't collect sight from the good part of the shtar, so to speak, or from the bad dates in the shtar, which is like our mayor, that we can ask the heter onto the iser. That's Rish Lakish's explanation. No, if you say Rabban could agree over here. Why? Because here Shem Yigma Mizman Rishon. You can't compare over here. The problem is it's one shtar, and the shtar is one date. The shtar says, in our example, May 15th. The loan took place on June 1st. It's very nice to say, use the shtar to collect only from June 1st. But since the shtar is one date, over here, once we say you can't collect with the shtar, you can't collect from May 15th. But that same issue says you can't collect from June 1st either, even though the loan took place from then, because it's one day in the shtar. You can't separate the shtar to work from after after a certain time, even though from that time it's really good, you can't make it work for them because the shtar, the date of the shtar, says from an earlier time, which is no good. Once you say it can't work across the board. Whereas in our case, we're separating the ribbis and the principal. The principal, the loan was fine. The ribbis was the problem. So don't collect the ribbis, but collect the principal. Who got for story time? The Mashkele Pardes Lechavi is a fellow who borrowed money from his friend, and he gave a mashkin of a pardes. A pardes is it means like an orchard. It means like a vineyard. He gave his friend a vineyard as a pledge for his debt. Achlatas Shani. The lender was eating the produce of this vineyard for 3 years. Amarle, he was having that. Now the lender had major leverage. We know that halacha is, Babasra again, second reference of Babasra, this chesed about them. If I'm on your property, your house, or your field for 3 years, and I claim I bought it from you, the burden of proof now becomes on you to prove that I didn't buy it. Why? Because the idea is that the person doesn't have to watch a shtar. You know, these days we have title registered, right, in city offices. But the idea is that the person is not mechuyev to watch a shtar forever. So if I claim I bought it from you, and I've been living there for 3 years, and you haven't made a macha, you haven't come to court to raise concerns that I'm squatting on your house. So I'm believed, as long as I've aided, I've been living there for 3 years, without you making a macha, I'm believed that I take a border from you. And the burden of proof is on you to show that I didn't buy from you. So this mashkin over here, what happened was the borrower gave a mashkin, a vineyard, to the lender. Lender was using this field for 3 years. Could be to deduct from the value of the loan, of course, like we had earlier in the parak. It was deducted from the woman's own of the loan. But now the lender says to the borrower, I have you in a weak position. I can claim I bought it from you. I've been on the field for 3 years. I claim that you sold it to me, and I own it. So do yourself a favor, sell it to me now. Sell it to me. Get what you can from it, because I can force you to sell it to me. Says the borrower. The lender says to borrower. If you sell it to me, we're not saying there's a right thing to do. This is a good thing to do. This is a... taking advantage, but the point is, this is the Maisa Shaya. This is what happened. He said as follows: if you sell it to me, great. If you don't sell it to me, I'm going to hide my rights to this field has been because of a shtar mashkin. Then I have it as a mashkin. I'll bury the shtar mashkin and I'll just claim I bought it from you. And I'll claim that it was through a purchase. Also, come back to the Vnei Katan. So, in order to circumvent this lender's bad ideas, the borrower went, and before they did any transaction, he was makna the field to his Bnei Katan. He was making the field to his Bnei Katan, and then he sold it to the lender. He agreed to the lender's demands and sold it. But guess what? He sold it to Brooklyn Bridge. Once he's making it to his kid, it's not his. Once it's not his, then what he sold is nothing. So he purposely is making it to his child, and then he sold it. The whole discussion of Rashi, why he's being making it to Afkata Katan, why can't he just make it to his friend, and then sell it. Once I'm back to my friend, it's not mine anymore, and then sell it. He's more concerned about his friend keeping it himself, not giving it to him. Okay, discussion why we picked the case of a katan. There's also an idea of shtar of meida. A person could do something even less drastic. Instead of being makna to someone else and then selling it, which is not a sale because you don't own anymore, you can give him meida, take edim aside and say, you should know, I'm making a clear declaration. I'm only selling it because he has me in a compromised position and he's forced me to sell it. I don't really want to do the sale. So I'm going to go through the motions of selling it, but it's not a real sale. And when someone gives a proper meida, he gives a proper, I'm not sure what the English word for that would be, but a notification that what he's doing is not should not be taken as real. So that also, and elsewhere, you find such a concept works. Why our Gemara didn't rely on meida? The Mefarshim, I think the Mefarshim speak it out, not the Gemara. Okay, the Mefarshim speak out. Why over here he didn't do meida? Okay, says the Gemara now. Zvini bad lav zvini. The sale surely not a sale. Why not? Because the money didn't, the field no longer belonged to the borrower. So the shaila is now, sale is not a sale. Zuzi, b'milva, k'milva b'shtar dami, b'gav b'chas b'shabadim, a'idam k'milva b'adami. The question says now, the money that the lender paid to buy this field, which didn't belong to the borrower, the seller, and only belonged to the borrower, is that money like a milva b'shtar, and the if you collected from b'shabadim, or is like a milva peh, v'inigam b'chas b'shabadim, and it can only be collected from the free and clear properties belonging to the borrower, can't go to the shabadim. Says that was the shayla. Amar Abaye, v'lav hani dravasi. Why is this not Ravasi's memory? Amar Ravasi tapa beis ma'ida v'shash kasfei ain't shal mekayimay. That when someone's ma'ida and a shtar that is written, you don't need to mekayim it. So to v'gay v'chas v'shabadim and l'chayra, you can be gay v'chas v'shabadim a shtar that you have the borrower being ma'ida that the shtar is true. That the shtar is true. So you don't have to go be mekayim the shtar. You don't have to go verify the witnesses. The hayda of the borrower alone is sufficient. And you go to Mechas B'Shabadim. So here too, L'chayra. In this case as well, we should say we should say that the shtar, the borrower, is really admitting that it wasn't a sale, but he did receive the money. He did receive the payment for this field, but it wasn't really a proper sale. And therefore, it should be that he can go not just to his own free and clear properties, he should be able to go to his mishabadim. It's like a ma'id b'shtar shekasfei. The Gemara says a very big difference. A regular shtar where the malvus ma'id the shtar was written, it was a proper shtar that's meant to be written. It's a proper shtar. Over here, the borrower was doing a trick to get the lender off his back. But it wasn't a shtar that's supposed to be written in the first place. No shtar is a faulty shtar. Amalei Rava, bi dami hasav nitin likasev. Over there, it's a shtar that's normal to be written, and therefore, he does enough. Hachle nitin likasev, and therefore, it's not a, perhaps in this case, even though the leiva is being made, that the borrower, who's also the seller, is being made, maybe it's still not going to allow it to go to his mishabadim. Yasmir Emer v'kavad l'ashmaita. Remember, was saying over this memra with Rava's argument why he shouldn't be able to go to the mishpatim. Amar v'yidah memra. So v'yidah memra. Elahad amar v'yechanan gizir shemigvim is marmishin. We said before, Rabbi Yechanan says that eshtar muktim is pasul, and not only is it pasul to collect from the earlier date, it's pasul to collect even from the later date, even from when the loan took place, because maybe it's gizir. You may come to collect from the earlier singular date that's in the shtar. Says, why don't we have the same taina? Why don't you say a better taina? Why don't you make say that a shtar muktam is an improper shtar, shouldn't have been written in the first place, and any shtar that shouldn't have been written in the first place cannot create a shibud? Meaning, why do you have to come out to a gzera? Sounds like really there's a shibud. Really the shtar that's predated. You can't go back to our example. The date says May 15th. The loan took place only on June 1st. Really, you can't use that shtar to collect from May 15th, obviously, because the loan didn't take place then. But really, from June 1st, you should be able to use the shtar. Nervous, why can't you? It's a gzera, because once you have a shtar with the wrong date, you may come to collect for the earlier date. Therefore, we say it's no good. But the shibud really exists. Ask the Gemara, but according to what we're saying now, a shtar that wasn't properly written, a shtar that wasn't meant to be written, does not create a shibud at all, if that's true. So the reason why you cannot use the shtar that's dated the 15th instead of the June 1st is because it wasn't meant to be written. It's not, such a shtar shouldn't have been written in the first place. And therefore it doesn't work. Not because of a gzera, a taka shouldn't work. Amalei, so where it says, not true. Hachi ashtar hasam, nitla nitla lekasev, mizman rishon, am nitla lekasev, mizman sheni. Hachal nitla lekasev, how could you compare? By the case where this borrower was back in the field to his child and then fakely sold it to the lender, it's a shtar that wasn't meant to be written because there's no sale going on over here. It's a joke. The whole thing is just a facade. It's just a game. Whereas by our case of the loan, that the shtar was just predated 2 weeks earlier, the loan took place. The shtar should be written for June 1st. It's just the wrong date was written. It was written prematurely. But the loan did take place. It's a loan which is fit to have a shtar. So you wouldn't call that a shtar that's playing neat to the kusav. It's a shtar that's given over to be written. It's meant to be written. It makes sense. It just should have been written with a more proper date. But the shtar itself overall is not a bad shtar. And therefore, Rabbi Yechad to say the reason why it's no good is not because it's a shtar that wasn't meant to be written, but because you may use it in the wrong way. You may use it for the predated date, and therefore it's no good. It's a gzera, but not because it's inherently no good. Ella, how the time verse still. We have a kasha for the volume brisa. The shvaka kais ketzad. What does it mean that there's a payment of the shvaka kais? We're talking about this is a person who buys a field and then it's taken away from him because the seller didn't really have rights to that field. So the buyer, when he has a chayis on the field, he goes to collect back his money. Not only does he collect back the money that he spent on buying the field, he gets to collect the shvach, whatever betterment he did to the field as well, he gets to collect that from the seller also. The shvach, like Ketzad, Harishi Gazel Sedeh Mechaveri. Ruvain sold the field from his friend, Umach Lacher. Ruvain sold the field from someone, sold it to Shimon. He sold Shimon a stolen field. Vishpicha, Shimon improved the field. Variates with Tachazarte. And now the field's being repossessed by the true owner. And it goes now to the rightful owner, and the buyer, he wants to go collect back from Reuven not only the keren that he paid for the field, but also the shvach that he created, the profits that he created in this field. Kishugaiva, when he collects, gaiva is a keren mechas b'shabadim. When he collects the base payment, the payment for the field itself, he collects from not only from the seller's free properties, he can go to the properties that the seller has sold to others, old properties that are out of the shus, he can go to the seller's alakuchas. Whereas the shvach that he's collecting, the compensation for what he improved on the field, that he can only get for the mecharin, from the mecharin of the seller, not from his mishabadim. Says Gemara, name alay nikil kasev, but the shtar b'chlal wasn't meant to be written, this shtar of sale, it's a fake sale, and therefore how could we allow the buyer who bought this stolen field, how could we allow him to go back to the seller's lakuchas based on the power of the shtar? Is a shtar that was never meant to be written, it was a full sale, it never belonged to the seller in the first place. Hachiyash, the Gemara says there too, Hasam ilamand amar nichled leinikir gazlana ilamand amar nichled leikim beimenusa. The Gemara says over there, whether you say the reason why the the seller is going to compensate the buyer is because he doesn't want to be called a gazlan, or he doesn't want to be called a non-trustworthy person to do business with. Either way, he wants to maintain his reputation, and therefore mefayis lemara. It's understood he's going to mefayis the owner and buy a field for him, umuklam ishtara, and reestablish that shtar. So therefore, the shtar itself has real power, even though he sold something he shouldn't have sold. He's going to try to make the shtar whole, make it real, and therefore the shtar has real power, whereas hachal avruchim b'nei kamechavin. In our case, again, the borrower was just doing a trick to get away from the lender. The lender was trying to do something bad to the borrower by saying, I'm on your field for 3 years. I'm going to claim I bought it from you, which is not true. So he's forcing his hand into a sale he didn't want. So the borrower was only trying to do a trick to circumvent the seller. There was no intention of having any sale there at all, and therefore the shtar is mamash nothing. If the borrower, in our case, the seller, was just trying to circumvent this lender to avoid losing his field, he's going to try to support the shtar. Vadanat, the whole shtar, the whole sale is really a farce, and therefore such a shtar cannot create any shibud. Okay, let's pause the Vandal a little far behind. We'll pick up Mitzvah later today. We'll learn tomorrow's daf, and we'll pick it up from this Mishnah. Hopefully, the Neder, we will finally catch up today at 4:30 this afternoon.